we talked a lot. The communication element for us, especially for me, as you can probably tell, I talk and I have to talk to make things better.
It would be a crap podcast if you didn't say anything, so we appreciate it.
But me and Luke just talked all the time.
Yeah.
The Still Parents podcast is proudly supported by Global's Make Some Noise. Click details in the description to find out more.
Let's do this. It is the Still Parents podcast supported by Global's Make Some Noise. I'm Dan. I'm here, as always, with Ryan and with Matt from the Lily Mae Foundation. We are joined with us again today for part two with Jessica and Luke Perry. First and foremost, how are you? How are you both? How are you, Luke? You okay, buddy?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Yeah.
And yourself, Jessica?
Yeah, fine.
The reason why we've got you back in for part two is because we want to, you know, keep the episode under an hour, but we also wanted to get your whole story and not make you rush through parts of it, because there's an awful lot which has been going on in your world, still happening in your life, and remains the case. So you have got your three children. You've got Ivy, who's 11.
Yeah.
You have Harry, who's 6.
Mm-hmm.
And Theo, who is 3.
Yeah.
So life is very, very busy.
Yeah.
As it is. Anyway, on top of that, we talked on your first episode about your miscarriage. So it was a miscarriage, mm-hmm. Which you had 2 months before your wedding, which was in 2016.
Yeah.
And also went on to have another one. And that was the following year around Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
You can hear all of that, like we say, in the first episode. But there has been a lot which is still yet to be told.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a successful pregnancy, you guys, in 2018, mm-hmm. didn't you?
Yeah.
Two more miscarriages in 2019.
Yeah.
So let's pick up from the successful pregnancy in 2018. And firstly, because this is something that we've always talked about with our guests when they've gone on to have children after a loss, after a miscarriage, however it came about that naivety has gone, and can you enjoy a pregnancy, and where your mindset was at the time going into it, you know, how were you looking at it? Was it, you know, with trepidation? Were you excited? How did you manage your emotions through that? So
for me, like, and I think I said this last time, each time I was pregnant, I was always excited. So my mindset has always been that if it's going to go like bad, if it's going to go wrong, I'd at least like to have a little bit of joy before it does.
Right.
So for me, we always told people, I always got excited. Luke, not so much. Luke's mindset was very much like, when I can hold a baby.
Yes, I remember you saying that. Yeah,
then I can be excited. Which was hard for me, because in my head, when you're physically going through it and things are changing and it feels different. With Harry, it just sort of felt different. I can't explain why.
Okay, no, right.
But yeah. I couldn't even really explain that to Luke. So for him, he was like, well, you know, we'll see. Like, we'll see.
Did you guys clash over that? You know, that, because of those opposing ways of looking at it?
No, I don't think so. I think we've always had our roles going through different things. And I think the only thing that it took the enjoyment out of was my, you know, skepticism, maybe took the glow off it slightly. I think that would be the one thing I'd say we didn't clash over, but that was definitely a bit of a dampener.
Okay.
Yeah,
makes total sense.
As well. Yeah, because I wanted to like buy stuff and be ready and be prepared. And I think Luke was a bit like, okay, let's just be sensible. I didn't have a sensible head, and I don't in anything really, do I? I just run off and I go over the ferries. But he was quite, I don't know, just a bit more like.
Is that kind of like, you know, just in general with your relationship, is that kind of a bit of a theme in the dynamics of your relationship? Are you both nodding before I've even finished the sentence there, so we know that, okay.
Oh, I'm very chaotic.
Okay, yeah. Right, okay.
Yes, and also I just do things, so I'm quite spontaneous, aren't
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
Hence the fact I now have a charity. That was completely spontaneous.
Funny was mine.
I just get ideas. I just get ideas and then it happens. But Luke's very sensible and he's a thinker and a planner. And
okay.
That's just always the way it's been.
Opposites attract, as they say, isn't it?
Yeah.
You keep me grounded, don't you, Luke?
I think the one thing for me was probably after the first miscarriage, one of the themes that sort of went through was the little ritual that when we went in for the scans.
Yeah, so, okay.
For me, it was kind of, I'd always keep my head down until I heard the, I'll say nurse, I can't remember the correct name.
Sonographer
say, and there's the heartbeat. And then all of a sudden I could look up and I could go through the process then. Mm. But my little ritual was I'd look down, and then as soon as they tell me, I'd be able to look at the screen. So,
yeah, I was with Etta. I was exactly the same. Mm. I just literally just, well, I'm very rarely quiet. But I was quiet, and until I heard that heartbeat, and I think it's because of what actually happened with Callie with her heart. It's naive, and it's obviously naive to know that, and we all know there's more to pregnancy, but for me, I needed to hear the heartbeat, because that's what happened with Callie. Her heart just went down through the floor and I couldn't bring it back, so I was like, right, the heart's here. Mm. Heart's here? That's a weird thing to say, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the heartbeat's here.
It's reassuring.
And yeah. So yeah, I was exactly the same. I can understand completely.
And that actually was hard. I found that hard when you didn't get excited about the scans. I think, again, when it's like physically happening to your body, and I guess I was always frightened about the scans, but there was always a part of me that had, I just retained that excitement because I was like, maybe this is the one. And because Luke, because I think I said in the last one, so I had Ivy and then I met Luke. Mm. Luke had only known loss from a pregnancy when we were pregnant with Harry. So he'd never been to a scan. Like, that had been tarnished before he even got to experience it. He never had a good experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so with Ivy, that was just the most straightforward pregnancy. Nothing, I didn't even think anything could go wrong. I was so naive. So that first scan for me was great.
Yeah.
It went exactly as it should. Luke had never experienced that. Two scans he'd been to had been bad news. So it was a shame because it like took that experience away from him, and that was sad for me. But I was always a bit excited and he was always nervous and he just used to look at the floor, and that was...
I like that. It's kind of like, it's almost like the scientific, you know, like you just need the absolute unequivocal just proof, and then like you said, and then it's like, okay, I can buy into this now. Go on, Matt.
Yeah, I'm keen to then hear, like, once you are settled, are you settled, or are you like fully, or are you ever settled because of what you guys had gone through already? Or is it still like you're probably more settled, but maybe still there's that edge there that's just still?
Yeah, I'd probably say, and not to sort of just jump ahead timeline wise, but I'd probably say that the never settled point. And the reason I say that is because we, in my head, I always wanted four kids, and we got to three. And then we were like, look, we're lucky to have three. Mm. You know, let's stop there.
Yeah.
And the pattern was two losses, one pregnancy, you know, one successful pregnancy. Mm. And I was going, we're going to have to do two losses again and then we'll get a success. So I'd say I'd say Theo was probably, due to that very unscientific rule of thumb that I'd created, Theo, the pregnancy with Theo was probably when I was at as close as you can get to, this is going to be okay, because I had that theory in my head.
We've had two, and it's been
proven twice. So it's, you know, it's that kind of thing, almost like the first, you know, we'd have to do that again. So we'd have to go two miscarriages and then maybe we'd be lucky.
I'm keen to hear both your opinions around that word miscarriage as well, because like we've had people on before who've had multiple miscarriages and things, and then we've like, obviously we deal with clients on a daily basis who go through miscarriages, and there is still a stigma around miscarriage. You know, it's just a miscarriage, right? So I'm just keen to hear your views on it, because I think ultimately it's that out of all of the, I say all of the losses, but all of the way you can lose a baby, there is still... I think it's from the outside as well, societal perception. Yeah. Oh, well, it's only a miscarriage, you know?
Yeah, and that is actually really funny, because I did a poll this week, like a question box on Instagram, asking people who'd had miscarriages what the worst thing that someone had said to them.
Oh, okay.
And we got loads of people say stuff, but a really common thing was, it was only early. It was you're only a few weeks, you can try again. And we did get a lot of, I think probably because of my age, I got a lot of, you're still young, you've got loads of time, don't worry. Calling it a miscarriage does sort of play down what you go through. Mm. I think if you've never been through it and never actually seen the physical side of it, you don't really know what it involves. I think people have a perception that it's just a heavy period and that's it. Mm. And, oh, well, it's a shame, but you can try again. At least you didn't get any further. And we never, like, I know some people choose to, like, name their babies at any gestation.
Yeah.
We didn't do that.
It's something that we've heard so many times since we started doing this podcast. I think because of how frequent it is with miscarriages, it seems to have this aura of it's not as serious, it's not as important a loss, when of course emotionally and to the people involved it's anything but the case on that. And then on top of that, when you're having the comments like the ones that you hear, I know they come, they're meant from, I think, you know, they're meant from a,
it's supposed to be reassuring,
but it's not, is it? Because it's more of a platitude than anything else, isn't it? And that's where we come back, as we always say, to that elephant in the room. Sorry, you're going to say something?
I think the thing is, there's such a, we're burdened, I guess we kind of are, but also there would be other sort of natural signs that you were pregnant without having the technology to affirm that. But we do have the burden of technology now, where we find out earlier and earlier. So my grandma always said,
"We didn't know."
Yeah,
the burden of technology. I like the idea.
But it's kind of that point where previously, when that wasn't there and you didn't know before week X, then you could have just, it could have been, you know, so someone got, you know, particularly heavy period at that point, and that would have been the only sign that you would have had. And I think that's opened up another world where people get to a point and they, like, everyone has, I guess, in their brain, their cutoff, that validation period, where really what we should be looking at is kind of relative. You know, it's just respecting the sort of loss that everyone has
you've made in your head.
Yeah.
I think for me, something I've not really listened to noise much. Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's opinion's different. Me and Luke are the only ones that know exactly what we went through.
Yeah, precisely.
And our experience was probably different to other people. I mean, I've met a lot of people that have had miscarriages who have dealt with things in a completely different way that's completely unique to them. As an observer, I might say, I don't know if I'd be that blasé about it, but that's the way that they have chosen to deal with that.
Yeah,
and I think it's the same with the wording. For me, it almost doesn't matter as much, because if someone doesn't understand what I've been through, that's fine, because we know the journey we've been on. And when I meet other people who feel the same as I did, I can help that person to, like, validate their experience.
Does that happen much, out of interest?
Meeting other people that have gone through?
In your circles and with what you do? And
yes.
Yeah.
And lots of people, I think specifically because of what we do as a charity, because we give memory hearts out for any gestation, any loss at any stage, and in NICU as well.
Mm.
And there's a lot of people that contact us that maybe they were 5 or 6 weeks, but they say it just makes them feel like they're allowed to grieve.
Okay.
It gives them, they're being given something and they go, oh, okay, this was something.
That's interesting.
This was a baby and this was important. And we get a lot of feedback like that.
Validation.
Yeah, it is that validation.
It's ultimately what it is.
Do you find that with Lily Meg's, that comment there, like, you're allowed to grieve now. It's like, now you can do it from,
we get it a lot. And like people who, they feel like, because they don't, again, it's that naivety. You've never been through it before and you don't know many people that have, you don't have any reference point. So you might not have ever seen someone grieve over a miscarriage. So you might think, oh, well, I can't, because I'm being dramatic if I do, or, you know. Yeah. But when you know of more people that have been through it, and when someone says, you are allowed to feel sad about this, you're allowed to be upset about the fact you've lost a baby, I think people try and maybe make themselves feel better by telling themselves it was early on, it, you know, it, maybe it wasn't even, maybe it didn't even have a heartbeat. You know, all of those things that you try and say to yourself to make you feel better. I think when somebody just like acknowledges that you were pregnant, I think it's, yeah, that's...
I don't know if it's symptomatic of almost like the times that we live in as well, that there's a lot of, you're putting a lot of energy towards concerning yourself with what others are feeling about how you should feel or how you allow yourself to feel, because it's none of their business, is it? And it's just you need to react and carry on individually and as a family still in the ways that it works for you. And it's not about anyone else. And
that's the thing, there's so much out there.
Yeah.
And there's so many people that tell you that the way that you felt about something is wrong or the way that you dealt with something is wrong. It's not. It's just the way that it felt right for you.
You've talked about this. We were talked about this in the office, didn't you? You said about it's that whole people trying to change someone's like you're saying, like about opinions.
Yeah.
We can both disagree.
Yeah.
But you'd say there's a lot of people, and especially online now, and it comes out a lot online because you don't have to see that person face to face. And their job, you've said, haven't you, that there's people out there who it's actually their job to try and change that person's opinion. Yeah. It's nonsense.
It's when you, and it winds me up all the time because I think sometimes it can just stop the progression of a conversation. Listen, by the end of it, I know, say we disagree on something. Mm. It doesn't mean that I don't need to leave this conversation knowing that I've changed your mind. It's not about that, and vice versa. Yeah. And you don't have to agree with me. It's just merely we acknowledge each other's point and then maybe just delve it. So I learned, doesn't mean I have to agree with it, but I've learned some of the reasons why you might think that, why I might think that. Mm. And I think we just get, conversations get bogged down at like, right, I've got to win this now. What are you winning? You fucking won, it doesn't matter.
And there isn't a right way.
Exactly.
That was the thing.
And to be honest,
like,
if it's me,
names.
I'm bound to be wrong normally. So, you know, yeah.
But that's why I know lots of people who have had an early loss, but they've named their babies because that's the way that they want to deal with it.
Exactly.
We didn't. And that's not because the other people are wrong, because that's the way that they dealt with it. We just dealt with it in a different way. So, and that was right for us. It felt right at the time. It still feels right now. I don't regret the way that we dealt with anything.
But I also think we live in a society now where people feel that they have a right to... have an opinion on, that their opinion is the right opinion.
Yeah. And they get butter if you don't like it.
And we live in a society where we have so many people who are just so entitled to feel that that what they say is correct and not willing to listen to the opposite side of the argument or somebody else's opinion or somebody else's want or need. And sadly, that's because of social media, because everything is so, you know, black and white nowadays on certainly on the internet, on social media. Mm. Quite frankly, if somebody doesn't like what I've done, well, I didn't ask for your fucking advice as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, if I ask for your advice and you're upset in that respect, then yeah, I understand that, but I haven't asked for your advice. So as far as I'm concerned, fuck off.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Basically.
Yeah, absolutely
it's as
right.
Simple as that, really, isn't it?
There's a block button. Block me. I don't care. Yeah. Don't bother me. Like, you know, just you just do you. It's a you problem, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think that's, it's the interesting bit is, Not only going to and challenging what you've said, but just have, like you say, block, but like having the world to just bypass the argument. Mm. Yeah. We don't need to have an argument about this.
No, we don't.
No one needs to be right.
No.
Use the energy elsewhere, isn't it?
It's one of the things that, you know, one of the things that I like about when Jess posts her videos and makes the sort of Instagram or whatever other platform it goes on.
The Instagram. Whatever.
you know, it's just a raw video. That's it. You know, she's had a thought process. It's gone on there and that's it. It's not, you know, to get people to like the video or interact with the video. It's, I felt like this today because this, or I've been thinking about that. And then
maybe you do too.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't.
Off the back of that, there's been so many people that got in touch. And I'm not even sure that some of them are aware that it's Jess. And she's married to me, and we know them through different routes. It's bizarre, but from that side of things, that's been the real positive of it. But every now and then you get someone who's, you know,
yeah, it comes. people who don't understand baby loss and have never experienced it and never been in it, you can't convince those people. And so we didn't ever really try. And the wording around it has never bothered me. And I know it bothers a lot of people. But for me, I know what I went through. I think one of the things that I did, and I still do, is I always play down what I went through, even now.
Consciously?
Oh, so when, if people say to me, wow, you had four miscarriages, I go, yeah.
Right.
Oh, well, is that to make them feel... things that I've read. Because I know so much now.
Right.
I think, well, you know, it could have been worse. Could have been okay. Eight. Like...
Right.
It's just something that I've always done. So... And I don't know if that's to make them feel better or to make me feel better. I don't know.
It might be a bit of both.
Yeah, it could be a bit of both.
And also, it depends on how you feel in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, one occasion it might be one way, and the next, you know, for them and another. It depends on your mood, I guess, at the time as well.
Thank you to Paula, who has said that she's had someone say to her that she should be happy and grateful that she has a child at home with her. Yeah, after a medical termination. So, yeah, I mean, it is obviously...
Yeah, says Paula.
You should be grateful. And that's... People, if you have a child already, lots of people... And lots of people said it when we had Ivy and we didn't have one yet. Well, at least you got Ivy, you know, and she'll get you through. And we heard that a lot, which, yeah, it was absolutely amazing having Ivy. But it didn't take, you know... We were still very sad that we'd lost two babies. So
we've heard that similar versions of people hearing that comment a lot.
It's almost like people kind of bundle pregnancy I guess pregnancy up as one big bundle. And it's kind of like if you had two miscarriages or two, you know, just say losses for one.
Yeah.
And then you had one successful pregnancy. Mm. Then that's a tick. But it's... Each individual loss, you know, is a potential life, and it's an emotional experience that you have gone through, irrespective of how it turns out, and that doesn't go anywhere. Mm. You know, it's not. We get to the end, and you know, you put your hand out, and you go, "There you go. That's our three kids." You know, can we get in?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing, and then the person who's stood across, who's been, you know, unfortunate and not had any children, well, they're, you know, they're entitled to feel more sorrow.
More sorry for them.
Yeah. It's not like that. Each individual, or at least for me, sorry, from my point of view, each individual pregnancy is its own, you know, its own potential, its own, you know, life. And my three children aren't the same. They're all different. So your mind thinks about what it every now and then about, you know, would they have been cheeky like Harry, or, you know, would they have had that smile that gets, you know, butter wouldn't melt like Theo, you know, all that sort of stuff, or had the wit like Ivy, you know, all those sorts of things. Yeah. It's all separate. So it's irrelevant if you've got 10 kids at home or you know, you haven't got one or any. It's a just completely different experience, and it doesn't ease it. It's not like we were sat there in the hospital, you know, and the kid came in and everything disappeared and all those emotions and the sadness went. It was still very much there.
Mm. Thing is, there's so many people that think that happens, though.
Yeah.
And that, like, just because you have another child, that it's just going to eliminate everything and everything's fixed. Mm. It's amazing how many people genuinely think that is the case. It's almost like, I suppose, if you break your leg and you go into hospital and you have a plaster put on your leg to fix your leg... It doesn't mean that your leg is automatically fixed. You've still got to go through that spell of the bones reforming and all that sort of stuff. And people are—I'm in one of their moods tonight.
No, but I think you should be, because it's honest and it's
some people are just thick. Yeah, I mean that. I genuinely mean that. Yeah. And I'm not saying that in a
ignorant, maybe, was it?
There's a level of ignorance I think with some people that. It is, and people think that they are saying things because it's going to help you, when actually sometimes just shut your mouth, because that's going to help me a lot more than you spouting some of the bullshit that comes out your mouth. Yeah.
But I think you're absolutely right, and I think it's also the point of, like, it's the people that, like, it's also people that say something because they think they're helping, and then I try and give them like tell them, no, this is actually how it is. Mm. And then they say it again. Mm. And I'm like, I'm just, you know, I can't do it, because like you're obviously, it's just trying to open people's minds a little bit. And like I said, you know, we've got Etta now, but it doesn't make any difference at all to the loss, as you said, the loss around Callie.
But Matt, you can't polish a turd.
Well, no, you can't. No.
Do you know what I mean? That is the way I look at it. Is it some people? Oh, Dan's desperate to jump in it.
No, go for it.
Some people will just say things like you say for the sake of saying it because they think it's going to make you better, and then you educate them, and they still continue to say it, and still continue to say it, and will not ever deviate from their roadmap and of how they look at things or how they feel that things should be dealt with.
Do you know the wording thing?
Okay, yeah.
When you said, like, do you struggle with being called a miscarriage from whatever? Mm. When Luke was talking about it, what I would say, which I don't know if many other people think, I struggle with the word loss. Okay. I struggle with that word. And the reason is, I don't feel I lost my baby because I knew where it was. It was there. And to me, that almost made it seem nicer than it was. And right, I struggled with that.
Okay.
Because miscarriage to me seemed like a harsher word, and I felt like it deserved that. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense.
So for me, I would say actually the word loss for me was too buttery. I didn't want people to say you lost your baby. No, I didn't. My baby died. That's what happened. And to me, I struggled with people trying to say, just put me under the umbrella of baby loss. You know,
Which shows there's no right way to communicate, is it? You never know how someone's going to react to something. You might feel one way about a particular delivery of a phrase or a word. And then you've just, you know, as you've just said, I hadn't thought of that before.
So I think it's just, everybody's experience is individual and everyone will deal with everything with it differently. And
I think that's a great point.
Even when we were like pregnant with Harry, I don't feel like we never went too far into the future with planning. Because even when we got past the points that we got to 11 weeks and 6 days with our second miscarriage. But even when we got past that scan, there was never a point when we thought, this is it now. That we always thought something could happen, something could go wrong. And again, I'm jumping ahead to Theo, but like then when we were pregnant with Theo, we got to the 20-week scan and they said they thought there was a heart defect, didn't they?
Yeah.
So we were like, oh my gosh. So that was like the first time that we'd experienced a problem later on. We were like, okay, this could go wrong again now at a different point. This is new for us. This is unfamiliar territory. We know how to deal with an early loss. We've done that 4 times. So there was never a sweet point for us at any part of the pregnancy, which was difficult. After the scans, we just felt dreadful.
Can I play a little bit of devil's advocate here?
Oh, no.
He's got a glint in his eye. Watch out.
No. I just want to ask.
You got an opinion that we're going
to... No. It's a question more than anything. So where you said there about having an early loss and that you'd been through it 4 times, so you knew how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But then obviously for parents that have lost a child, I know you don't like the word lost.
I appreciate... I mean, we're a baby loss charity. I know it's used, but... For my experience, I felt like
You know, I'm not going against that at all because you know that's the way that you like to view that, which is absolutely fine.
Yeah,
the fact that you said you'd had 4 earlier miscarriages, so you knew how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Yet each one of those is a completely different experience.
Yeah,
do you really know how to deal with it? Because all you know how to deal with is those 4 that you've been through.
Yeah.
So in terms of, let's say for you know, for heaven's sake, it ever happened again, would you know how to deal with it? Or is that a safety net? Is it a safety blanket because you know you've been through it?
Everything I do is a safety blanket.
Okay.
The fact I talk about it so much is a safety blanket. Like I think we said last time, now it's like, I'm so used to talking about it and I feel like I've been asked every question. Nothing bothers me. And then sometimes someone says something that is unfamiliar, or they've not asked me before, or haven't thought about for a while. And even when Luke was saying about the fact, like, thinking, every time we met a baby, I don't think I ever thought, I wonder if any of the ones we lost would have had their eyes. I've never had that. So when Luke said that, I thought, oh, that's weird, because I've never thought that. That's probably a safety mechanism, because I don't want to think it. Mm. So I think it's a case of, yeah, I feel like I've had a lot of experience in it. So maybe I...
Because
like
they're not going to hurt...
Completed the course.
Because it's not going to hurt any less, is it? It,
no.
You know, it's not going to hurt any less, because, like we've said, each one is an individual in its own right. So every baby is an individual, you know, individual person. So we have that. I mean, I
know what you mean.
From my experience, we obviously lost Lily at 37 weeks. So that's a completely different ball game. That was the stillbirth side of our experience. And then we've had two miscarriages. Mm. Now, I know my feelings when we went through the miscarriages were very much a, we went through that stillbirth. This doesn't feel as intense, I suppose, because of what we'd experienced. However, that doesn't mean that it wasn't upsetting. So I think I know, I think I know what you're trying to say.
I think maybe what I mean is, we got through it.
Yeah.
We have always got through it.
In whichever way that you get through it.
And we've always got through it at a certain point of a pregnancy. You know, so we've always got through it. It's always been hard. They've all been different. Actually, physically and mentally, they've all been different. But we've always come out the other side. So I know how to deal with it in that...
Isolation.
Yeah, I don't know maybe what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I know we will come out the other side.
Well, to use Ryan Amat's phrase, like it's not linear, is it? So it's not going to be, oh, this happened before, so this is how it's going to progress this time.
What about you, Luke? Have you got that view around, like, as in, not the same view, I suppose, but have you viewed it as like you knew how to deal with it as well? Or, like, is that where the difference in personality comes in and, you know...
I think it's, you know, it's a tricky one. I'd say we're obviously not, it's not a blasé thing to go through. And I think you're probably right in terms of that, because otherwise we would have gone, well, we want four, so let's, you know, we'll go again. And we didn't. Well, more it was me. You were geared up. but it's, I think for me, because I wasn't going through the physical element of things, I was a little bit more kind of like, if I really, you know, you were on board, but if I really push this and then it happened again, and then it followed the same pattern, 2 and 1, it would have been more of a selfish thing for me to pursue. But I also just didn't want to see you go through it again. So I think it was, I'd probably say, yes, we had the strength, you know, both mentally, individually, but also as a couple to go through that process. But we experienced it from a different angle, you know, as a uncle and auntie, really, with my brothers and my sister-in-law's loss. So from that side of things, that took the rug out from our feet as well, you know, because like you said, we got past week 12, and although I wasn't like, yeah, you know, paint the room and whatever, buy a cot, with Theo, you know, we got to that point, and then my brother and sister-in-law lost Darcy.
And full term she was.
Yeah, and that was just a completely different, you know, thing to add to the add in, you know. It's you know, we didn't experience it directly, but
but still it's compounding, you know, and it's close. So Matt's mentioned this before, it's almost like, do you question, like, hang on, what have I done something bad in a previous life, or like is this whole thing going about it, because what's followed you about and the continuation of just what it just feels like one thing after another, isn't it?
And I think actually as well with Darcy, it was the lack of control we had that made it quite hard. We didn't know what they were going through. because like everyone has their unique experience, but we just had to watch. We kind of knew that this was going to be horrendous for them, but we were on the other side. It wasn't us this time. So, like, we couldn't control how other people felt about it, if that makes sense. Like,
well, it kind of backs up what you were saying about your situation with people earlier, isn't it? You just, in that moment.
We just had to watch. Mm. And that was horrible. It was horrible being on the other side, wasn't it?
Again, I'd probably agree with what you said about the difference between the two, because it was horrendous because it was COVID and there were lockdown rules. So no one, you know...
Couldn't hug.
No one could hug and we couldn't go and see Darcy and those sorts of things. So from that side of things, there was even more pressure added to, you know, to them and the extended family. But then there was an actual, there was a funeral.
Yeah.
So there was kind of like a...
I think it's...
A real realism to it, wasn't there?
And that's, I think, quite a big difference in that with Darcy... We all went and we went to a funeral and we were all together for her.
Yeah.
But with our losses, because obviously they were earlier on and we didn't get that far, we dealt with it and people were sad for us and sad with us. But it was very much us that experienced that. Yeah. With Darcy, it was the family that experienced that loss because we were all in it. We all went to a you know, like we were all gathered together for her.
Yeah.
Mm.
We didn't have that with ours, which, like I said, it doesn't invalidate what we went through, but it was very different.
Yeah.
And especially when we were 28 weeks pregnant with Theo at the time. Yeah. So it was scary.
The Still Parents Podcast is proudly supported by Global's Make Some Noise. Click details in the description to find out more.
I think some people struggle with understanding somebody's emotional state from miscarriage because at times there's nothing tangible for them to be able to see.
Yeah.
So it's like you say that you're suffering within yourself because you know what you're going through, what you've been through. Mm-hmm. And the difference with that, with Darcy, like you say, is everybody's there as a family or, I mean, I don't know what the ruling was at that time around COVID. Sorry, I got hair in my mouth. I don't know what the ruling around at that time where there were times where you were only allowed X amount of people in and stuff like that. And I think what people see, and certainly what I've learned from speaking to different people, different clients, people that have had miscarriages, people that have had, say, terminations or people that have had stillbirths, is that when there's nothing tangible for them to see, they find it very hard. They've reported back that people say they find it very hard to be able to put themselves in their situation because they can't see anything. Mm. But it's like you say, it doesn't, for me, it doesn't matter if you can see it or not.
Yeah.
You've been through, you know,
experiences
that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. Mm. You've been through them.
And to have it on so many occasions
as well, which makes it, which compounds it even more.
And then seeing it with other members of your family. So this is, right.
Timeline, we've jumped about. Sorry, haven't we?
First miscarriage, 2 months before your wedding, 2016. You had another miscarriage, Valentine's Day, 2017, like you mentioned. 11 weeks, 2 days, was it you said?
Yeah, yeah. Six days. It was literally
six days, sorry, my bad.
12 weeks ago.
Successful pregnancy, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Two more miscarriages.
Yes.
2019. It's just going on and on, isn't it? You have three children that we mentioned, Ivy, Harry and Theo. And all of that, which has been going on during it. So it's literally been, there's no like passage of time that's gone where that's not been in your mind at some point. I would like to, if you don't mind, talk about the impact, and we mentioned it a bit, but on you as a couple and how it affects your relationship, how it maybe have changed parts of it. For good, I mean, look, relationships change, as we always say, is a bit of a disclaimer when we get into this part of any episode. They're always evolving and changing anyway, aren't they?
Yeah.
So there's bound to have been, you know, challenges with that. Mm. Lots of people, unfortunately, don't stay together. Mm. Some people we spoke to are actually in the strongest place they've ever been at, and at whatever point in their journey. How are you guys as as a relationship? I've noticed it's always the female who answers this first.
I would actually say it really brought us together. Would you say it brought us together? I would say the best thing that came out of our all of everything that happened, the bad stuff, was that personally it strengthened us. I think because we talked a lot. The communication element for us, especially for me, as you can probably tell, I talk and I have to talk to make things better.
It would be a crap podcast if you didn't say anything, so we appreciate it.
But me and Luke just talked all the time.
Yeah.
We always spoke about how we're feeling, like how we were feeling. I tried to get information out of him because I wanted him to feel it too. Like, and we were always very supportive of each other. Would you say that it brought us closer? I don't ever think there was any bad stuff, really.
No, I don't know about... I always thought we were always fairly on a level, weren't we? I think the one thing we probably learnt more about was the emotional cue side of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like... Mm. I know, you know, certain things, like I know when I'm going to get the full reason why my wife is slightly cross that day, and you know that's
about how diplomatic you're being right now.
That's a flip. That's a great way of saying it. I'm going to remember that one.
I'm going to say that again so we can write it in our phone notes. Yeah,
but it would be kind of like things, and I go that she's cross about that, but it doesn't. She's not cross about it, and then there'd be something, and we'd get to the end of the day, and I just sort of say, right, am I going to have to wait another hour, or are we going to just? And then it'd be tears, and
right,
the reason would come out then, and probably a bit likewise with me if I was having a low day, then it would be sort of quieter and that sort of stuff, and we did. So I think from that side of things, that definitely helped. Mm.
Well, that is one thing I wanted to mention, just from what I see, you know, part obviously just seeing you, I don't really like behind closed doors, but in the here and now, and you know, the, like we say, Jessica, you, and we like this, it's good to have someone who likes to communicate and, mm-hmm. you know, open up with their feelings. I think, Luke, tell me if I'm wrong, a little bit more reserved.
Yes, probably.
Is that a good way of putting it? So, but you've still got so you might... And there's no right or wrong way, obviously, is there? But sometimes you might be frustrated. It's like, well, why can I not, you know, if Luke's not in a state or a place in that moment, then you need to let something out. Mm. And vice versa, if Luke's like, I just need a moment here at the minute, but I need to have my list. You know what I mean? Mm. It's just that, I guess, that juxtaposition, isn't it, of knowing the right moment, which is a theme that we spoke about before. But you learn that about each other, don't you? Mm. And do you now just let, like, I think you alluded to it a little bit there, you kind of let the little things, and this has been a theme, just let more of the little things just slide because you realise how trivial it is.
There's bigger problems. Yeah.
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I think as well, that like, and I know that we are obviously a podcast that talks about this subject, but I do feel that in general, if you can go through things like you guys have been through and you are still there and you're still doing it every day, I think that shows something, because if there's one, you know, bluntly... In general, if there's one thing that's going to really test a relationship, it's going to be going through something like this, because it's just like, it's nuts. That's an understatement, but it is. It's you know, there's moments in our time with me and Crystal where it's like, you know, this is the worst thing that we could ever face. Mm. You know, and it is. You're still there, aren't you? And that's what it's all about.
I think what Matt's trying to say is he's trying to say, do you still get upset with Luke, Jessica, if he leaves the toilet seat up?
100%. And it happens actually quite a lot. Yeah.
That's not, yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you leave it down?
Yeah.
The other way.
Why are you
throwing
one of the
bus? Oh, you want a list?
Because we all do it. That's what I mean.
It's Luke, like, if I was you, I'd just piss on the seat.
Or just have had a shot.
I thought it was fair argument. Yeah.
We always spoke about stuff. And I am very outwardly emotional, so I used to do a lot of crying.
Hmm.
Luke, not so much. But... I just felt protected by Luke, really.
Aww.
So I think that's why it was so... I didn't want to assume that role. I didn't expect him to look after me. But there was an element of each time it went wrong. Oh my gosh, something's got me.
Well, take your time.
Oh. Each time it went wrong, I knew he was always there.
Yeah.
And he'd always help me through it, which is why, and I know we said we didn't know if we were going to touch on it, but
yeah.
Luke's cancer diagnosis this year was extra hard because the shoe was on the other foot and I had to be the one that was like, and that was really bizarre because it's always been me and it's always been Luke, like, making sure that I'm okay and worrying about my health and is she okay after the miscarriage and all of that kind of thing. So there was a real test.
Yeah, and this is what we haven't even mentioned this year, have we? And just to emphasise the point of it, it's relentless, one thing after, and then this happens as well. And this was, so you're still coming to terms with, you know, family situations, what's been going on, your losses, your children that you have, your family, and then dealing with the diagnosis and the treatments and everything as well. I'm not sure how much you know, obviously this is your show, how much you want to open up about on that, but but I think we're getting a general idea of how close you are as a couple and how much you mean to each other, and that you are, you know, with the dynamics of how you both handle things together. We've had it with Matt when he's had Crystal come in, and also with Ryan and Amy, and they all work in very different ways, but they work in ways that need to be done for you and you only.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we learned almost through, because obviously the first miscarriage was just before our wedding, so we kind of knew before we got married we could kind of handle anything. Like, it was kind of like a test, really, of, like, we'd been through something horrible, we hoped we'd never go through it again, but even, like, because obviously our miscarriages weren't consecutive, they didn't do any tests. It has to be three in a row. So because we had Harry in the middle, we knew we had to, like, go through it again. But we were always motivating each other to get through it. And
you've got, like, this mental armoury now, haven't you, that comes through experience.
Because we'd done it before. And I think, again, that sort of feeds back to the fact that I know I can go through it and I know we can go through it because we have each time. It might be a different challenge. It might be a baby or it might be cancer. You don't, but...
But what a great attitude, always, though, isn't it?
Yeah, we've kind of always...
I think that was the one thing that we... the one thing that we sort of... Or the one thing I took from the whole last 3 months was that the role reversal for me was a challenge as well, because... I didn't want to play casualty. That's not what I wanted. I didn't want to be, you know, the one that needed it. Yeah,
you don't want to be looked after.
Yeah, but the I,
oh no,
you know, being being emotional. Like, I didn't want to be in a. I wasn't. Well, don't want to be emotional. And I wanted it because the way we work is, Jess will show me her emotions, and then I'm the. That's how we function. So when it got to a point, and everyone was kind of, you know, even with my mum, and everyone was kind of like working around me, but didn't want to, you know, burst into tears or you know, things. And I was like, right, you just do it, because that's what I need. I need you to be upset, and then I play my role, and that's how we function. And that's, and
again, that's validation, that's kind of again, it. Because, and that's the same with the miscarriages and everything. You want people to validate your experience. Luke wanted validation almost for his cancer diagnosis, that it was serious, because he felt upset about it. But everyone was going, right, for Luke's sake, let's just pretend it's not happening. Let's just try and cheer him up.
Oh, right.
And
okay.
I would say it's a similar feeling to each time a pregnancy went wrong, because everyone would do this thing where they'd distract me, or like, oh, don't worry about that. Or if that's upset you, then don't do it. Oh, someone's had a baby. Oh, we won't tell her. Someone's pregnant. Let's not tell her, because we're going to protect her and put her in that bubble.
But you can sense when people are holding something back around you.
And that's something that I experienced a lot.
Wow, okay.
And Luke, I don't know if you'd really experienced it until this year, but everyone kind of putting a bubble around you and trying to make you safe by...
Yeah.
Not being upset around you, basically, to try and make you feel better. But sometimes you just want everybody to fall apart around you so that you can say, okay, I'm allowed to be sad. I don't have to pretend to hold it all together, because...
Well, it's another form of an elephant in the room, isn't it? But I'm just not addressing it when it's there and it might,
Mm.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
How are you? Do you want to expand? Are you with the So that was made no sense. That sense.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So as you know, it's as far as I know, touch wood, it's all gone, all dealt with. Had a sort of one intense round of chemotherapy, and I wouldn't recommend it. But it was, you know, that was kind of a belt and braces rather than, you know, trying to tackle it or anything like that. So from my side of things and from that point, I'm just on the sort of recovery now, and that's kind of trying to get back to pre-cancer surgery, which happened in May. It's all going
on
back
right
to there
track.
Now.
I really apologise for the analogy that I'm about to use. I'm hoping that Ryan and Matt may have a better one, but it's the only one I can think of at this current moment in time, so I'm going to say it anyway. With the Rocky movies, and there's that famous quote about, you know, don't matter how hard you get hit, you get back up, and it's just the fact you just, there you are, back, life, every single thing. Like you said, you now are in this position where it's like, come on then, what if...
Yeah,
I'm getting out. What you fucking got? And you're just going to plow through it. Mm. Nothing's going to take us down. Mm. And to have that in your, I don't know if I could do that, but you don't know until you've been in that place.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I would have stopped, but the mortgage kept needing to be paid, so I thought I better get back to it. But I think the thing is, wanting a family is the reason that we're all sat around the table. You know, wanting that family and it not going to plan is also the thing that gives you that strength, you know, that kind of energy. You look there and you think, you know, whether it's looking at your partner or your siblings or your kids or your parents, whatever it is, you draw that, or even friends, you know, it's just that sort of thing. You draw that sort of strength from them. So I think that's kind of... whether it was going through the miscarriages or it was we were working with each other. Mm. We are, you know, when we had Harry and Ivy, we had the kids there, and then you know, we just all got that drive, really. It was all,
we can do it,
yeah,
just keep going, we're gonna do it, yeah. Sure. And actually that's what, because when we've had the conversations about more kids, that's not going to happen now.
That's my next question crossed off then.
We had a lot. We've had a lot of conversations, and that's what we've always done each time. Like, each time we took a gamble and said, shall we try again?
Yeah.
We always had the conversation, and Luke was always worried because he didn't want to see me go through it. Yeah. Me, not so much, because for me, regardless of what happened to me, I wanted the end result. So for me... Keep going. It was harder for Luke because he had to just sit and watch. And again, now that the shoe's been on the other foot and I've seen him struggle, I think, now I kind of get you. Why you didn't want to see me go through anything bad again? Because it's horrible. Like, for me, I always just thought, it's fine. Like, I know my body can handle it. Let's just try again. And if it goes wrong, it goes wrong. We go again. But for Luke, he was like, it was like... awful. He always couldn't explain how horrible it was to see me go through it physically, and now I get it.
Using an old teacher expression that I used to, well, that we were told to use a lot.
Oh, I know this one. Use it. Hurry up, get changed.
Well, there was that one as well. I get the impression you were always a start with the end in mind sort of person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jump to the outcome.
You jumped to the outcome.
Yeah.
And didn't allow yourself to almost think about the potential of what could go wrong.
Well, and if you did that, the experiences that we went through, if we did that, we would never.
Yeah,
have
you'd
done
never
anything.
Do it, would you?
No, and no, we knew that we wanted to have kids, so it was like we either just do it and get it over with, or we then live in that. Like, place where we go, what could have been? Maybe if we'd have tried again, it would have happened. Mm. So, for us, well, for me, I don't know about Luke, but the risk of it all going wrong, when I see my kids, I think, worth it.
Yeah. I think it's just do it with, if you're doing something, with absolute conviction, isn't it? You know, again, with cliches, just jump in with both feet. But with all that adversity, I mean, you've mentioned it again with the role reversals. Mm. You know, you've... there's nothing positive about going through shit like that, but you've learned about each other through it, and especially things that weren't tangible for you before. You've had a glimpse into how the other person's handled something, especially with what's happened and the positions that you've found yourself in, and then seeing it from each other's perspectives
and we're very grateful. We're very grateful, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. We just, that's what we always say about, like, the kids we have.
Yeah.
Like, we're just grateful.
Grateful
for the journey.
What does the future hold? It's quite an open-ended question, isn't it? But,
well, definitely no more kids. Maybe some cruises. I don't know.
There's Christmas sorted for you, Luke.
I don't know.
I think the... People keep asking me about, you know, I speak about the cancer and stuff. They're like, oh, what, have you had any epiphanies or anything like that? And I think the only one for me is to do more. So it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's holidays or time spent together or whatever it is. It's just do more. Mm. You know, use your annual leave is one I keep saying. And just, you know, get out and spend time and make sure that you're looking back on the year and go, God, we did all that.
Mm.
You know, I think that's quite key for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right.
Absolutely. We are, as a human race, very good at turning around and saying, oh, we can't do that, can't afford that, or we haven't got time to do that, or we haven't got this, and I completely agree with you. Just get out and do it.
There's always a million reasons not to do something.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's, I think, just brilliant. Having a positive outlook, isn't it, really?
Perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, what we do now, because, yeah. We've had a lot of bad stuff happen. If the bad stuff hadn't have happened, then the good stuff wouldn't have happened. So, you know, we have got there where we wanted to be. And
I think that's a brilliant place to leave it with that. If the bad stuff hadn't happened, the good stuff couldn't have happened. It's and thank you for being so open over these two episodes. Mm-hmm. And we will love to speak to you again in the future and see how you are, how you're getting on and what's new and where you went for your cruise.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. Is there anything you want to mention before we wrap this up? Anything that you feel like you haven't got off your chest yet? Or do you want to save that for another one down the road?
A trilogy.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think it's been very therapeutic, these two sessions. So thank you very much for having us.
Yeah.
There we go. So what are you going to talk about in the car on the way back then? Last time it was, do we have a curry or a Mackey?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that this time before we came. So,
no, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That was Jessica and Luke Perry, part two on the Still Parents podcast, supported by Globals that Make Some Noise. Like we said, everything is in the description for our website, where you can download the app, get in touch with us on our socials. And if you'd like to join us on the podcast, whether it's just for 5 minutes or come in for a whole episode, like we all say, it's completely down to you. We're here to accommodate you. And finally, because I haven't forgotten, Ryan.
Hang on a second. No, because I've just had a thought.
Oh, go on. You know what
I'm saying. Because I think I know where you're going, but... I really like that. If the bad stuff hadn't happened, the good stuff wouldn't happen. Yeah. And I think that's a seamless link into what you're about to say.
Dr. Jackson. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
What did you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to pull that up, yeah.
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 Since we last saw you, Ryan has become a doctor without studying. Fuck all.
No way. Wow.
Which I'm very jealous about, as you can tell. No, it's...
myself and Amy.
What's the official... Sorry, Amy as
myself
well.
Myself and Amy.
Yeah.
We've been awarded honorary doctorates at Coventry University.
The Dr. Jacksons.
Check you out. Sat next to a doctor.
Yeah.
Does that mean I can reel off all my ailments? Or
I'll just tell you it's a virus, because that's what every other fucking doctor says.
Coronavirus, yeah. I love that fact. As soon as you got awarded your honorary doctorate, you then...
The grief I got.
Came down.
Everyone, all right, Dr. Jackson. Are you going to call yourself the quack?
Yeah. On that note, thank you very much. We'll be back very, very soon. And take care, Jessica and Luke. Thank you once again for joining us. This is the Still Parents podcast, and we will be back next time. Take care, everyone.